You are listening to the podcast of Frontline Ministries International. We pray you will be empowered as you listen to this week's message.
Carly. Well, this is the week of Relentless Pursuit. Can you believe it? I can't believe it's been a year since we had all of our friends in from all over the place. So that's exciting. So starting Thursday night, 7 o'clock, right? Yes. So Thursday night, 7 o'clock, and then it's all day Friday. There's three sessions Friday, morning, afternoon, and evening. And then again, Saturday morning and afternoon and evening. The afternoon and the afternoon workshops are going to be at our house again this year. So we're going to have a luncheon just like we did last year out there, and then have some different workshops. And for those of you who were in the basement last year, for that workshop in the basement, I have good news. We didn't have the air conditioning in that room, apparently, last year. So some of you might have been a little bit warm. We just wanted you to feel like you were in India. But that's, you know, going to be rectified for this year, no problem. So.
Thank you, Troy. A couple more logistics on Relentless Pursuit. Just a reminder that next Sunday morning, we will be starting at 9:30. Not 10:30. What time are we starting?
9:30.
So that is a change from past years. So just wanted to highlight it again, because sometimes we go on autopilot. So 9:30 next Sunday morning, we will be starting to finish off our Relentless Pursuit time together. Also, just some logistical needs, whether it's today or Tuesday, we are needing some happy hands and feet to help us set up some of the chairs in the overflow room. We're needing some happy hands and feet to bring in some of the bigger tables from the shed. So if you're able to do that today after service, thank you so much. If you can do that Tuesday after service, thank you so much. But we do need that help to get things going here. Also, on Tuesday night, we will be having a stuffing folder party. So anybody who is available to help with that, please just plan on hanging around on Tuesday so we can stuff folders and have those ready for Relentless Pursuit. And then finally, on my end, if you are available at all during the day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and even Thursday, our beautiful house here needs some tender, loving care. So any we can use help with cleaning, vacuuming, dusting, lawn care, whatever the need is. So if you are available, please come by. Somebody will be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So please, if you think, I wonder if they need help with that, or I wonder if they thought about that. Yes, we need help, and who knows if we've thought about it. So please bring it. So it's an exciting week. Pastor Jose is in town. Pastor Jose is leaving Brazil tomorrow. Inez is coming in a couple of days. Miltario will be here. Bennett will be here. So it's really, really exciting. If you really think about what's happening, people from around the world are coming to this house so that we can glorify the Lord together. So hopefully you are praying. If you haven't been praying, please cover this time together, because it's good and it is the Lord. I'm going to have Haley come up, who was asked to share something good.
Pastor Mary Pat asked me to share a quick testimony, and I couldn't get out of it. She's been asking me all week. So regarding coming to Relentless Pursuit, it starts Thursday night, is all day Friday, and then all day Saturday. But a lot of us work on Fridays. I work on Fridays. I'm a teacher. But I asked my principal off for Relentless Pursuit. And when I initially asked him, he gave me kind of a blank stare. And then I went to see the secretary later on a different matter. And she was like, the principal told me all about your church's Relentless Pursuit. It seems so exciting. He's going to give it to you, no problem. And he gave it to me. But it was really interesting because, yes. So it was just very interesting how it worked out, because he didn't respond to me. But apparently he heard me and was excited for me. So it was very interesting. But I just wanted to encourage you guys that the Lord's really intentional about Relentless Pursuit this year. So if you want to be there, just ask. What could go wrong with just asking your boss? What? Yes. Amen. Anyways.
That's awesome. So I'll just go out on a limb here. How many are you saying that you're facing a challenge possibly for Friday? That's a bold move. So we're just going to pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, I just pray, Lord, for that testimony, Lord, of how you turned, Lord, the situation, Lord, with Haley's boss. Father, we just release that same favor, Lord, over this body right here this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you will make a way where there seems no way, Father, in Jesus' name, because you're drawing us close to your heart in this season that we could receive a fresh release of what you want to put on the inside. So, Lord, I declare again that you will make a way where it seems like there's no way. And, Father, we believe that you will break through in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes. And the other part of that, God can bring the breakthrough. Sometimes we have to step into that place of uncomfortability. I know I sometimes will be like, I'll just sit in the back and I'll wait for the Lord to come down and part the Red Sea in front of me. And then, how many of you guys have ever done that? I'll just let the Lord just come in and do it, and I'll step back. There's times where that happens, but then there's other times where he calls us to take a crazy step of faith, extend the rod, and then the Lord responds to our step of faith. So we want to have it both ways. And I want to thank all of the people that were hitting the streets this week, that were just getting out there, praying for people, loving for people, sharing about the Lord, sharing about Relentless Pursuit. So I wanted Carly to come real quick and share about their time at the Stark State.
Yes, on Thursday, right after we had Stark State Edge, Shannon and Gina both met me at Stark State campus. So it was both of their first time going out on any type of outreach. So I really appreciated their hearts to step out and jump into that. And we just got a chance to go around the campus, and our heart was to really meet people, get to know them, be able to offer prayer or encouragement for anything going on in their lives, and then also to extend an invitation to the Edge at Stark State, the Edge here on Saturday night, and or Relentless Pursuit, however we were feeling led. So we wanted them to know that we really cared about them as a person, not just, here's a bunch of things we want you to come to. So I just said, you know, don't feel like you have to invite them to all three, just however God leads the conversation, you know, if it works out, whatever you're feeling led. And so we just went around, and we kind of split up, so we are one-on-one with people rather than three of us coming up to one person. Hello, would you like prayer for anything today?
Yes.
Which can be fine for some people and a little intimidating for others. So we just found that people were really open to talking, and we went to some of the common areas like the cafeteria and like a lobby and even outside where people were just sitting around. So people were inviting me to sit down with them. We all encountered that, and we found people were very open to prayer or at least sharing, you know, about their lives, what they're studying, why they're there, all of those things. And it really, God definitely led it as far as, oh, we have the Edge here at Stark State. And then be talking to them a little bit more, and they'd share something that I'd be like, oh, well, I think you'd really enjoy this conference we're having. And so it was really easy, really casual. And I know the three of us were all really stirred up and encouraged from going out, and we're just praying that fruit will come from it.
Awesome. I love when new people step out for the first time and getting over that initial fear of, hey, I'm going to approach people. And as just a really quick encouragement before we show the quick Relentless Pursuit promo, there was a time where we were doing an outreach and Pastor Mary Pat asked me to lead the group in going out and sharing and reaching out to people. And on the inside, I'm like, I have trouble reaching out to people. Why are you asking me to do this? Shouldn't I feel more empowered and equipped? And the Lord was like, I have empowered you and equipped you besides what you're feeling. And not only that, I'm asking you to lead people in it. So you can just get over that fear in a second and just, now I'm leading people. And that really broke open a door for more outreach to love people and to get over that initial fear and apprehension of, oh my goodness, I have to talk to somebody about Jesus. And then it just, you get right through that, and my goodness, Jesus loves people, And so he's going to use us to reach them. So I encourage you guys to stir up in your heart. Ask the Lord, who would he have you be inviting to Relentless Pursuit? And we have the quick video here. There we go. Sorry for the abrupt end, but love that. How many of you love that song? Just, we could listen to that song forever and sing it in eternity. So also on the, so reach out to people, invite them to Relentless Pursuit, reach out on the social medias as we can, and then also that personal touch and phone call goes a long way to invite people into what the Lord's doing. So be encouraged.
It's me. Yes. Well, the children can be released to Kingdom Land. Sometime I want to go there. I mean, if it's Kingdom Land. Now let's just make sure that all the life and joy hasn't left with the children. We should be just as joyful and full of life as the children. Amen? Father, we're here today once again. We're drawing into your presence, drawing near to your heart. Lord, what will you have for us today to challenge us, to move in us, to change us, to rearrange the rooms in our house? Father, what will you do today to have us step up to be more like you? Lord, we need you to empower that. We know you're more than willing. Because our efforts are meager. Our efforts are weak. But yours can transform our life from weakness into warrior. Father, we want that today. We want that today. We're going to take this time to let the distractions leave. And the presence come. Just like during worship, the distractions start to leave and you come into focus. Jesus, we're here to see you clearly today. We're here to hear from you clearly today, Holy Spirit. We offer ourselves, we say once again, here's my life. It's yours, God. We give you praise for this time and thank you for speaking to us today. Whatever way you want to, God, from the Word of God, from the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, Father, dreams, pictures, visions, Any way that you want to communicate with us, we're ready. We're desirous to hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you'll notice something if you were here last week, that you have the same printout that we gave last week, except this is the new edition. Some of the poor wording was changed. And so if you're really crazy about that kind of thing, you can look back at the old one and see what was changed. But this one's better. And so this is week two on this, since I didn't know that Pastor Murray Pat would indeed take Pastor Jose to a conference in Pennsylvania. So she's in the great state of Pennsylvania, and there are some here that would agree with that. And since I'm from another state, I have to, you know, kind of go along with it. I'm from Michigan. There we go. There's all kinds of different reactions to that. So anyway, wow. There goes the treasure of the church. Wow, they get snacks, sorry. So this is now the new edition. The other sheet is the same, but it goes together. So we only made it through point four last week, and I didn't know that Pastor Mary Pat would be missing in action today, so it works out because we can continue with this. And I had a couple of things that the Lord brought to my mind that I forgot to share last week. And so this just works out. I just love how that happens. If you're in need of a job, there's a job fair, and you can work for the census. We'll put those out front. Maybe you can put those out, but those came through. That was my real quick announcement on that, so you'll have to check out that information. You know, in the course of ministering to people, and around the world, they say, well, what do you do for work? I say, my job is people. That's my job. They said, what? How does that work? Well, anything having to do with people is what I want to be about. I want to talk to those things in them that are them. People. It's about people. And obviously, I want them to be more connected with our powerful God of 700 names and titles. I want them to know him intimately. And so I used to kind of dilly-dally and run around the block a few times before I really let people know where I was coming from. But anymore, some of them read it on me. And that's pretty cool. Some are starting to call me pastor before I tell them I'm a pastor. Some are starting to think I have something to do with Jesus before I even tell them anything about it. That is awesome, and I hope you're having that experience as well, because God, in these days, he's so desirous of speaking to people and having them get closer to him. He's going to let them know who we are before we introduce ourselves. That is so cool. He loves them so much. He wants them to receive something. So I had a relative this week stop by the house, and Mary Pat had given the great testimony to her that when I pray for her, I'll get a picture many times, and she's healed when I pray for Mary Pat, Pastor Mary Pat. And so she was giving this testimony to this relative. So the relative stops over to our house and drops off a pair of jeans, not for me, but for Mary Pat. They had flowers on the side. That's how I knew it wasn't for me. And I think some sparkly things. You think I should start? We need to talk afterwards. Okay, so anyway, she drops off these jeans, and suddenly she says, I don't know if this is a good time for you, because I came up to greet her. I was in the dungeon, the basement, my basement office. Troy came down and visited. He almost was overtaken by that office. So she says, "Hey, I was just wondering if you might pray for me." You know, Mary Pat's told me about what happens to her when you pray, you get a picture. And I just wondered if you'd pray. And suddenly I'm like, I don't always get a picture when I pray for people. for healing especially. And I'm thinking, at church, so often I'll pray for someone and I just pray Jehovah Rapha and pray into them. And I desire their healing. I want to line up with heaven for their healing and all of that. But I don't always get a picture for a person when I pray for them. So here it is. She is expecting, after talking with Pastor Mary Pat, who set me up, for a picture. And so I do a flare prayer. You know, that's one where you say, God help. And give to this precious one what you want to give to her. So God, as gracious as he is, he gave two pictures. Not one. He gave two. And so one was the person's name written on a check with the first name highlighted and the last name kind of faded a little bit. The first name with the capital letter of their name very strongly written, and then it was like pronounced. It was higher than the other letters. And I looked at the line where the money part's written in, and I thought, okay, what's there? And it was just fuzzy. And it came to me, unlimited. Unlimited, no ceiling for this person. So I speak this out. We both have our heads down because I'm trying to receive from the Lord. She's trying to receive from the Lord. Mary Pat was there receiving from the Lord, as you would imagine. And they're going, whoa, ho, you know, and I'm like, wow, this is so clear. But I, as my normal is, I say, God, is this just me coming up with something, or is this you? And he repeated it so beautifully and, again, showed me that strong stroke of the first letter of her name. And I was like, wow, that's cool. And then, boom, right after that, it popped into my spirit, her as a little girl, in a pretty little dress, and she has her arms up, and the father is seated on the throne. Well, it wasn't a big throne, it was more like one of his smaller thrones or something, so he could get close. And he was just seated there, and he put his arms out, reaching for her, and she reached up with her little arms in this pretty little dress to engage with him, and he lifts her up underneath her arms and places her on his lap. And I'm speaking this out to this relative. And she's like, ooh, ooh, you know. She's reacting. Mary Pat's reacting. I'm starting to react. Then it switches back to the check again. And the name is pulsating. Her first name is pulsating. And I'm like, that's cool. And then I realized he's speaking her name. He's speaking her name, and it relates back to the picture of the little girl. So he's saying, as she's approaching him, her name, and I'll just make up a name. What's a good one? You should be saying your own names. Don't you see? So... how about Rachy? Rachy. Rachy. Oh, Rachy. So the name in the check is pulsating. And in the picture of the little girl, he's calling out to her, and her face is just filled with joy, and his face is filled with delight. So as I'm going through the Rachy, Rachy, I start to cry. I'm in my kitchen with two cry women, you know, women who are ready to cry at a drop of a hat. And we're all crying in our kitchen. Now, when I usually get these, it's, you know, I'm in the dark with Mary Pat, and she'll say, what do you see? I have this in my body that needs prayer. And I see something, and I pray it out. Then I can react in the dark. No one sees me cry. No one's, even Mary Pat doesn't see me react that much. She's reacting, and she's concentrating on that. But there in the kitchen, vulnerable, I am weeping over saying what the Lord is saying to this person and feeling it. And I'm thinking, this is so precious. And I speak this out after this is over. This is so precious. Do you see how? And they're going, yes, we see. But it was a revelation to me how these things are so precious to us. And they need to be valued when he speaks to us like this. So this supernatural decision-making process, you could make this step by step by dry step. I went through the steps and I still don't have an answer. Or you can let the Lord of the universe overcome you with his presence in these in this process. These aren't steps. They're all integrated together. And he could take them out of sequence and get across to us how he wants to lead us close to his heart, how he wants to lead us forward into his will. So people say, well, I want to know the will of God. Well, the majority of it is in here, and they typically say that. The majority of it's in here. But there are people that use this all day long, and they're way off on their decisions. I know people right now, I could name their names. I won't. That are off tremendously in their decisions because they can be deceived by the very word of God that they say they value because they want to use it rather than receive it. They want to use it, you know, for a purpose. I want it. I think these scriptures right here, they're for you rather than these scriptures are precious. They're for me. I need to change. I need to ask God where I need to change. Search my heart, O God, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I need to be in that process, searching my own heart while I go through these principles on the supernatural decision making. So that was the first thing that I wanted to share with you. But the other one is, a few years ago, I had a picture of a couple actually, that I felt had missed what God really wanted for them. Now, I didn't get an opportunity to share this picture with them because they weren't open. That happens. But it's a picture for each of us, really. And it goes like this. Sometimes we find ourselves in a cave. And we invite people into the cave that we want to be there. And then we start speaking off the walls very strongly. Even the word of God sometimes, right off the walls. And then we, you know, mix in our own thinking into it. We have the flesh involved in it, so we're speaking that off the walls, mixed with the word of God. And it's going off the walls. And we speak some worldly things even. Don't even know it. And it goes off the walls and comes back to our ears and to the ears of those that we allow to be in that cave with us. And then sometimes, as the word says, we speak out things that are demonic. We don't know they are, but they bounce off the cave as well and come to our ears and to the ears of those that we've allowed to be in the inner circle. And somehow or other, there's a negative agreement among those people in the cave that all of this is God. that this is fine, that this is good. Because the people in the cave, they have unhealthy relationships with one another. They're agreeing with things they shouldn't agree with. Somebody in this cave should stand up and say, wait a minute. What just bounced off that cave wall to my ear is a twisting of the word of God. What just bounced off that cave wall to my ear is worldly, is demonic. And stand up and speak to the others in the cave and say, rescue yourselves by humbling yourselves and repenting before the Lord, as some of the prophets in the Old Testament had to do. With a whole group of people that seem to be in the same cave at times. And the Lord is saying, I am giving you a voice. I am telling you through this prophet what lines up with my word and what doesn't. And they ignore the prophet. And sometimes these prophets get certain names because they were ignored. Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet. If you read through the book of Jeremiah, you realize why. They were not going to listen to him. And that was his ministry anyway. He had to tell them anyway, even though they weren't going to listen. So it's serious, you know, when someone's in a cave and they're hearing all this stuff, but they don't say anything. It takes courage. It takes empowering of the Lord. It takes a loving of God's word, of his presence, of his spirit, more than the agreement with people. So you've heard the term people pleaser. You know, you've heard negative agreement. There was one person that told me a few years ago, every message you give is on negative agreement. And I'm thinking, I think Holy Spirit is speaking to them every message about something. What do you think that would be? If they're hearing that message every time I speak, I said, really, every time? And they said, every time. My messages, which are a variety of things, every time I insert negative agreement, yes. Guess who's talking to them beyond the message? And they need to listen to that, or they're not going to be lined up with heaven. Boy, it's nice and quiet in here. So the person's in the cave, they're speaking out, and even maybe some of the others stand up and in agreement, and yes, 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 and they're bouncing things off the cave, and they're all in the cave, and all of the ears here, and everybody has a chance to stand up and say, you know what, I think something's going on here. We might be deceived. We're in such agreement. We better make sure it's God. But often, nobody does. And where is the real answer to their dilemma? Walking outside the cave, the dark cave, into the light. And then bringing these things into the light. Speaking with someone outside the little circle. So what do you think? And not a Facebook friend. A friend that will wound. That's what the Bible says. You know, to have a friend, you need to have a friend that's willing to wound you. Take the risk of wounding you for your good. That's a friend. Please don't think that because it's Facebook friends or Instagram, I don't know what they call them, I guess, companions, no, friends, I don't know, but followers, ooh, that's even worse, Instagram follower, don't think that those are your friends or followers, no, Your friends are those that are willing to wound you for your good. Biblically, that's a biblical friend. Will Jesus wound you for your good? Yes. Because he is your best friend. Always, forever. Once you received Jesus, you can get a spouse, kids, but he's your best friend. And it's okay. Mary Pat tells me almost every day, Jesus is my best friend. I know, do we have to bring that up again? She told me that when I first met her. Jesus is my best friend. You'll never be my best friend. You don't have to put it like that. You really don't. So to get out of the cave into the light, see if what's said in the cave can be lived out in the real world with the Bible. Principles of the Bible, like reconciliation, forgiveness, going to one another and saying, look, you offended me. But I don't want to be offended. I want to have an unoffendable heart. So that's why I'm talking to you. I don't want to be offended. I'm not going to be mad at you. I'm forgiving you while we're speaking here. But it was a bit offensive for your future talking to anyone else. You see, that's the kind of relationship we should have. And it fits in with this supernatural decision-making far more than we realize. You know, if your relationships are off in the body of Christ, you're not probably going to make a whole good series of decisions. If you're acting like, oh yeah, I'm for what's going on around here, and I like these people, and I especially like our leaders, but you're faking it, it will affect these decisions that you make. Okay, it just will. And so we've seen people, obviously, over the course of many years, go from rabid, radical, Jesus lovers, willing to go anywhere, do anything for the gospel's sake, miss their calling on that. Because they thought this was steps, and they were inside of a cave rather than coming into the light of the day. You see how serious this is? You can talk, worship, sing, pray, fast, even come to the all-night prayer times, go to the nations, and you can be knocked off track so easily by deception. Because some people think because they've done those things, all right, I'm on a different level. I've got some experience on the mission field. I've preached before. I have laid my hands on someone and they were healed. I've got something to say and people should listen to me. Yeah, they do this little dance when they say that. But I would tell you that going to each mission field, whether it be Skyland Terrace or it's Ghana, West Africa, or anywhere, anytime I go, I say, God, it's as if I've never gone before. I don't want to rely on my experience. Forget it. I don't want to rely on what I've seen before. I don't want to think that I know something about mission trips. I don't want to think that I can do it in my own strength. I can lead a team. I can do the mission. I can preach. And I can lay my hands on people to heal or pray for people in a crowd and see miracles and signs and wonders happen. I tell him, this is fresh. Here's my fresh heart. Here's who I am. You know who I am. I need your empowering. I need your strengthening. I need everything that you're going to give me to give other people because I don't give it. I don't give it. You give it. Let's make no mistake about this. I'm not the one that's healing people. You know, I'm not the one that is saving people. You are doing it. And so I am going to humble myself before you right now, God, and say, I know nothing apart from Jesus on this same mission trip. I know nothing about going to Skyland Terrace and loving on people. Nothing. So start with that. And then we're going to see some amazing things happen. Thank you, God. And they do. And I'm the most thankful one when they do. And then when others join in and do the same thing and they have the same heart, it's amazing what can happen in just a few hours. Just incredible things. And you've been involved in that. So those were a couple of things in my heart. The last one has to do with music. So, you know, guitar playing. I don't know. Can you? Maybe. I can't do all of it. So, guitar playing. You know, there are people in Japan. They carry around a Gibson case. Sometimes there's not a Gibson in the case. But everywhere they go, people are like, ooh, Gibson. That guy's cool. Now, if you have a real Gibson in the case, of course, you want to open it up and show your observers in Japan that you have not only the case, you don't have an Epiphone, you have a Gibson that has Gibson written across on the headpiece here, you know. You've got Gibson. Because then you're extra cool. You're extra cool. Now, this is before playing the guitar. You might not be able to play worth a snot, but you've got a guitar case and a guitar that says Gibson. You're automatically cool. Now, if you want to remain cool and you don't know how to play, don't start playing. Make every excuse in the book. Oh, awesome. I could have thought of that, but I didn't. Thank you. Makes sense. There we go. So, don't start playing if you don't know how to play. Then you've blown your cover. And if you don't mind my saying, that's a bit like a lot of Christians. They have the case, but do you have the goods inside the case? And then, do you know how to make music with the goods that are inside the case? Now, that's an important package. Can't just have the case, can't just have the goods. You got to know how best to relate to the goods to give out what's going to bless people with life. So that's the first thing with music. The other one is, do you know that guitar players, they have kind of an instant grip on a chord? It's not like I sit here and I look for each string and then I play the chord. This is memorized in my body somehow, my brain, my body. It's like a clamp or whatever. It just goes on there. Just in that position. Then I can change the position to a different chord, and it just is automatic. and it goes to a new grip. I don't sit there going like this, or no one would wait for me to play. And so it's automatic. So I'm telling you through music that if you do this in the supernatural decision-making process, you're following God's heart. That's what this is all about. Following Jesus' heart. You're not just going through some steps, or maybe you say, I don't even think that works, and you reject the step. You're actually going after God's heart. Then over time, it's like the guitar player that can get to the chords by clamp. Your spirit starts to recognize your openness to the Lord. And it blesses you with wisdom. So the clamping of the chords on here is kind of like wisdom. It comes simply because you, each time, you want the Lord's heart. You want what I call Holy Spirit's page in your decisions. You don't want to rebel. You don't want the worldly thoughts to come in. You want your thoughts captured by Jesus. You want your heart captured by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. You want to be in alignment with heaven. That's your greatest desire, despite mistakes we make and sin that sometimes happens. But that's your desire. That's where you're headed. That's what you want to hit for the target. You don't want any fakeness like the Japanese carrying their guitar cases around. You don't want that. You want what's true. You don't want to be talking behind the scenes differently than the way you're talking here. You're going to be all in one. It's going to be all one flow, and it's going to be Holy Spirit's page that you really want. Then he's going to have you be able to clamp on to some things pretty quickly by wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the... You could preach this message, see? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you're already fearing God, then you can get to the place where, you know, you can play some music because your heart is in tune with the Lord's heart. And each decision doesn't become this great, big, huge mountain. Will God be able to give me any wisdom on this? The answer is, he's already done it. So just be reminded of that. Think of the decisions you've made where he's brought in wisdom and you didn't have any. Where he brought you to Holy Spirit's page and you wouldn't know how to get there if you had GPS. He does it. And then you say, oh, it's God once again bringing wisdom. And of course, you always, because that's your normal, check it with the word again. Check it with counsel again. You're checking. You really want Holy Spirit's page, not your page. Then he gives you like muscle memory in your spirit. And it's called wisdom. And so few people realize how important that is in the body of Christ. Oh, he's a leader because he has a church of 2,000. And we're finding a lot of those people didn't have wisdom. And if you're reading on the internet lately, they're falling like flies. Now, it doesn't mean it's just big churches. But that's the ones we're hearing about. And they're such shock. Wow, this famous pastor has given up the faith. Well, people were saying to him, wow, you have such a big church, you must know what you're talking about. And then he started saying to himself, yeah, I know what I'm talking about. And so he somehow got off and was deceived, and his people didn't realize it because he still got this massive ministry with maybe satellite churches in different parts of the world or whatever, and lots of people listen to his voice, and he has a book or two or ten. Now, does that mean every person like that's off? No, praise God. But they can become off because they forget we're supposed to be children, not experts. and come to him with a fresh heart each time, with each decision. Like, would it be okay that my ministry buys 25,000 copies of my book and warehouse them so that my book goes up in the ratings in the Christian world? Of course not. But a guy did that. A leader. So his book would climb the ladder a little more. And you think, where did that come from? Well, pride comes before the fall. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We have to fear the Lord all the way to the finish line. There's no stopping in fearing the Lord. It doesn't matter what you've accomplished. It doesn't matter what God can do through you. It doesn't matter how many healings you put your hand out and people are healed. It doesn't matter how many people have been saved. God did those things using you. So we're always supposed to be in the humble position and not be experts. You should be smiling. It's good news. You don't have to be an expert. I free you from being experts. I free me from being an expert. Don't have to be an expert. Have to hear the Holy Spirit. Have to hear the Word of God. Open eyes to see. Open ears to hear. And the good news is, as I've said a number of times, he has new ways of communicating to us. I was sitting in the front row here several years ago, and people were saying in that season, you know, he uses smell as one of the ways he communicates with us. Any of the senses we have, of course he can maximize those and use them. And I'm thinking, well, that's cool. I wonder how that works, because Christy has all the smell in our family. I didn't get that. I'm has a little bit of trouble with some of that. She can smell things. And, I mean, come on, testify. That's true. She can do that. And so I have a little trouble with that. So I'm sitting in the front row, and some people around me are saying, do you smell that? And they're looking around for what the source might be to this amazing fragrance. And I said, I can smell that. And there was, I forget what the smell was, but there was nothing in this room that should have given off that aroma. I think the doors were closed, so it wasn't like flowers coming in from the outside. And it was just like it continued and it grew stronger, and people were just ministered to by this heavenly smell. And you're like, wow, of course. He would maximize all of our normal senses and want to touch each one of those with his heavenly senses, his heavenly touch in every way. And it's just an adventure to be a child discovering all these things. Things that you don't think that you could ever discover, you would discover. When I was growing up, I grew up in a Baptist church, and we had a choir, and the young people were part of the choir, and so I began to read music because of this choir teacher. She loved every person in that choir. She wanted them to be maximized in life, so she taught Sunday school. She wanted them to be maximized in worship, and so she did choir. And she, helped me with reading music. And I had had a little trouble with that because my parents thought I could play the piano. And so they put me in piano lessons. And my right hand would do all right, but my left hand was like, I don't know, it's like it needed a slap every other note. It just would not cooperate. It was like, I don't know how the right brain, left brain works, but whatever was with this hand, it just didn't match up. There wasn't any brain behind it. So I wrote with my right hand, threw with my right hand, everything with my right hand, and my left hand was like the ugly sister. And so, I don't know, it just never worked, and of course I didn't practice either. Go ahead. I know. I know. Music teachers, go ahead. Bring it on. So fortunately, they bought a guitar for my birthday when I was 13 years old. And an amplifier. An electric guitar. And they thought to buy an amplifier with it. And begin lessons. So I took like three lessons, and all of a sudden, my left hand, it came to life on the guitar. I don't know, it just suddenly developed a brain, and it started to like doing things on the guitar where it didn't on the piano, and my parents finally said, oh, well, now we can, you know, save the expense and the stress on the piano teacher, second or third one, and they don't have to go through that anymore. And so I began to play the guitar, and along with that, read music through the choir at church, and I began to read music. But I could never harmonize without the music in front of me. I needed to have the music in front of me if I was going to do bass when someone was doing the melody. If I was going to do a baritone part, I would need the music right there for me to do that. So I went on as a junior in high school. They thought somehow that I had sung enough talent shows in the area that there was a woman that said, oh, you need to go to the Interlochen Arts Academy. So it was a private school for voice and all the other arts. Any art you can think of, it was there. Sculpture, dance, different types of dance, all kinds of orchestras, jazz band, regular band, choirs, special choirs, all that stuff. And I went there, and the first day there that I was in class, they meet with you, and they said, so you're a tenor. And I said, no, because you send a tape in. No, I'm not. Oh. Because they would love to have lots of tenors because that's just what they wanted. And so I was in a category of, oh, you're one of those. Okay, you're a baritone or a bass. Okay, fine. But we really wanted tenors. Oh, well, thank you. I came all this way. I gave my life to this school, and you wanted tenors. So I learned how to read music better, but I still couldn't harmonize without the music in front of me. And there were all kinds of people that could do it without the music. I thought, that's a cool skill, but how does that work? And so that continued until, say, the last, I don't know, 10 or 12 years, and suddenly, why? Because I've been close to Jesus, I say, he gave me a new ability to harmonize, and not just harmonize one part, but any part, it seems like, if I want to continue on any part, a higher part than the person singing, a lower part than the person singing, harmonize. He gave it to me. And I was, because I didn't work on it. It's not something you work on. It's something that you can receive or work on. And so the same thing with electric guitar. I've told you that before. I couldn't play the electric guitar because there was a lot of lead parts. He downloaded that to me. What's he doing in this season? As we're entering into a supernatural decision-making process, he's giving extra bonus points, extra bonus gifts, way over what we want with these supernaturally determined decisions. He will add wisdom, he will add new abilities, he will add witty inventions, he will add all of that as we've decided to line up with him. And so I don't want you to miss that with this. It's so easy to think this is a great thing here on the paper. But I'm telling you, if you enter in to come to Holy Spirit's page on your decisions, instead of, well, this is the way it's got to be, this makes sense. My mind thinks this is a great idea. My emotions back up my mind. My will says, yes, I'll do it. But if we can allow the Lord to capture our thoughts and actually enter into this process with an open heart, then he is going to amazingly bless beyond what you see here on this page, even the scriptures and everything, because of the relationship with him. This is a relational type of thing when we make decisions based on what God wants us to do. That's why it often messes up relationships when we make decisions for the Lord. When we're really on target and we have the Lord's heart, so many people come against you. It happened to Paul. He said it would happen to us, and it does. And it's just incredible. Obviously, it happened to Jesus. When he was the only one in Israel totally on target, Jesus, wouldn't you think that they would say, finally, finally, wisdom has come in the form of a man. And he says he's sent from heaven. I should open myself up to that. I should listen to what he has to say. No, he received resistance to the point of beating him almost to death and then making sure he would die on the cross. So if you're lined up with heaven, expect all kinds of resistance from the world, other people acting in the flesh, and from the enemy. He doesn't want us to be on target. He wants to deceive us. He wants to get us off track. He wants us to have relational problems with people simply because of selfishness, simply because I'm right, and how could that person be right? It's a pride thing. And so if we humble ourselves before God continually, you end up finding out that, wow, I don't have to ever be deceived for more than just a second or two. A short little deception that my mind follows for a second, and then the Holy Spirit comes in and says, The shepherd comes in and says, no, over here. Here's the path. Here's the path. That's where we want to be. We don't want to be way off here and then have to be, drawn back and have to, in a sense, get reprogrammed to become what we should become. If we have a little wiggle over here, let the shepherd bring us back. If we have a little, going off into the tall grass for a minute where we're confused, let the shepherd come and pull us out of the tall grass and put us on his shoulder again. So for a little review, we said go to the Word of God. If your decision would violate the Word of God, then that decision is not God's will for you. If your decision does not violate the Word of God, then search the passages with the principles that are pertinent to your decision choices. Since the Word of God is living and active, be open to supernatural revelation that brings joy and peace to your spirit and an enhanced love for Father God as you are led by Him in His holy Word. It's not just finding the principles. The principles are supposed to have life, and life is supposed to affect us. The life of God is supposed to affect us. It should bring joy that we're on track with the Word of God. It should bring change to us, as it goes on and says here. After your investigation continues in the Scriptures, you may feel the need to respond to truth by repentance, submission. Repentance is a well-known word in the body of Christ, but it's probably one of the least known actions in the body of Christ. And we have said it probably way overboard in the last 5 years, that word. Because when people grab a hold of that, man, their lives get lined up with heaven so easily. When they resist repentance and they say, oh, I've already done that. then so often they're off in their decisions. They're off in their relationship with Jesus. They don't have the proper picture of Jesus. Such a key thing to be in a fresh repentance with God. And not so you're beat down, not so you're a navel gazer, but so that you receive that refreshing of the Lord. Here I am again, God. I screwed up. I sinned against you. Please forgive me. Let me be lined up with your word again. Psalm 51, you know, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. In a sense, we don't have that fear like David did, because the Holy Spirit came on him. And, you know, it could leave him. Like it left Paul, came on Saul. It came on Saul. And then it left Saul, and a demon replaced with Saul. But with us, he lives inside. He lives inside of us. He abides in us. But still, the attitude should be there. Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take that closeness with the Holy Spirit from me. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to resist you, Holy Spirit. Repentance, submission, humbling yourself, worshiping God, forgiving others, increasing in the fear of the Lord, asking for wisdom, and so on. Go for it with your whole heart. Go to the Spirit of God. He lives inside every true believer. He was given to be a comforter, helper for us. He is called the Spirit of Truth. He abides in you forever. He teaches you all things. He brings to your remembrance the things that Jesus has taught you. He will guide you into all truth. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Jesus. He will take of what is Jesus's and declare it to you. As a person accurately hears the voice of the Holy Spirit, he is able to discern what is the voice of the flesh and what is the voice of the enemy. Then reject those voices to obey the leading of the Spirit. Go to wise, godly counsel. As you are seeing the Word come alive with your spiritual eyes and you are hearing from the Holy Spirit with your spiritual ears, now you certainly would want to be open to any adjustment in your decision-making process. The Lord provides wise counsel to help protect you from missteps in decisions. Seeking godly counsel adds an assurance that you are accurately discerning for your decisions. Normally, the best wise counsel is a mature godly leader that knows you very well, not a stranger or just an agreeable friend. A poll of friends is not the same as seeking wise counsel. The counsel may include elements of encouragement, impartation, exhortation, instruction, correction, rebuke, discipline. The counsel may involve several counselors, and they may not all agree. So again, the Holy Spirit's voice, often using the Word of God, will bring the ultimate guidance for a decision. We went over these three last week, and I think we mentioned number four as well. If you're hearing from the Lord that you should do what you should do to follow his will in a decision, then you should obey, making excuses, procrastinating, choosing rebellion, your own comfort or your own preferences, blaming and accusing others, embracing hurt, rejection, offense, or bitterness, being obstinate, opinionated, self-willed, stubborn, stiff-necked, or unforgiving will grieve, quench, and resist the Holy Spirit's ability to guide you and lead you believing lies and being deceived. Will lead to you believing lies and being deceived. Deception is real. It's absolutely real. And how do we know if we're deceived? Well, being in a community helps. Because people, you know, you can say, hey, do you think I'm on track here? And if you have a faithful friend who is willing to give you wounds for your good, or you have wise, godly counsel that doesn't just want to agree with everything that pops out of your mouth or out of your process, then you'll be told graciously, kindly, I just don't think that fits. with what God has in this particular thing or that particular thing. Now, some things wise counsel is not going to say anything about. They're going to say, ask Holy Spirit, because they shouldn't be determining who you marry. You know, they shouldn't be determining major things in your life, but give counsel that leads to good decisions in those areas? Yes, without becoming controlling or overbearing. And we try to absolutely follow that here. We're strong in what we give as far as advice, but you have to see the difference. We don't want to control your life. Please. That's not our heart. Our heart is to see you reach the best for Jesus that you'll ever reach. And we have to say certain things in order for you to come up with the best solution through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And we want that answer to be from God, not from Bill and Mary Pat, not from the pastors. And if you hear someone say, oh, you should take that to the pastors, don't think that they're saying to you, at least I hope they're not thinking this way, oh, because they're the end-all answer to your question. No, we're not. No, we're not. Thankfully, it's Jesus. Thankfully, it's Holy Spirit. Praise God that it's higher than the two of us or anyone that's in leadership. And if that's not the case, then come and see me. Don't talk about who we are or what we do or what we say, and that's the pastors, and they think they're the end-all solution. No, we don't. God is. Did you hear me? God is. And he will always be, as far as my heart's concerned and Pastor Mary Pat's heart. Enough on that. Let's go to 5. Follow his process, not my own. His process often includes some aspect of the following elements, not as steps or a static process, but integrated together. Prayer, fasting, worship, time in his presence. Ooh, there's a mistake there. Anyone see that mistake? Should be capital. I didn't get them all. Another addition. And prophetic communication. Now, are any of those things higher than any others? You know, is fasting higher than, let's say, worship? Well, for the fasters, they might think so. For the worship people, they might think, well, worship is more important. But actually, you know, God will give us the mix of these. And sometimes a decision can actually be made without fasting. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it can be made. But you'll know when the Holy Spirit's saying, you know, probably should fast on this one. You go, oh, good idea. Good idea. And then just obey when he says to do that. Or if godly counsel says, you know, this just seems like one for fasting. You know, so they might even join in with you in fasting and give up their leaves and their beans for a day or two. Well, you can always ask. They do love those leaves and beans and rice, stuff like that. This is a powerful process to draw near to God, where his voice can be heard so much more clearly. And our thoughts will be captured to be empowered with God thoughts in God ways. When someone says, hey, I've been doing this a long time, and I know what I'm talking about. You know, or it might be, I know what I'm talking about. That's kind of a telltale sign, you know, that they're not following a process here. Because you would be humbled by the process, just coming before God and saying, I need your wisdom. Suddenly, you just want to go to your knees. God, I need your wisdom. I don't want to miss this. I want to be lined up with your heart. Automatically, you're humbling yourself. You're not sitting there, well, I'm going to rely on all that experience I have in hearing God. That'll help me a lot. Well, you can remember the testimonies of what he's done, but don't ever stand saying, I have heard God so much, I can just kind of go off on my own now. They made mistakes like that in the Bible a lot. Let's not follow those mistakes. Always be humble and fresh in God's presence for whatever decisions you're facing. Powerful process to draw near to God where his voice can be heard so much more clearly. It's about a relationship with Jesus, not steps. It's not even about the scriptures that we can line up in these areas, because people have lined up these scriptures and made horrible choices. They missed the heart of Jesus in the choice. If the heart of Jesus wouldn't line up with your choice, it's not God's best for us. You have to say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say to me if he was here? Well, he is. He's here in his word. He's here in his spirit. He will speak to us. He will guide us and give us some of the really cool stuff too. Dreams, pictures, visions that should line up with all of this. They shouldn't be off in left field. But if we haven't forgiven someone, even a dream, a picture, a vision can be off in left field. Our interpretation of scriptures can be off. It's about relationships with others. It's about relationship with God Almighty. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what he said? You have to be in relationship with me to be on target. 6, following his supernatural process for decision making will result in true spiritual peace. I know it says it at the end, but I just have to say it here with this point. I don't know how many people have told me I have a peace about it. And to me, it was like, they're not asking me, but if they were, I'd say, I'm not sure you should have such a good peace about this particular thing that you're thinking about doing. I don't have much peace about it, but they're not asking. They're telling me. I have a peace about it. Well, it's not about your peace about it. It's about his peace about it. And his peace should be able to speak to the process you went to get there. Because having his peace for people making a life decision that's kind of important, they will carry it. You will see it on them. They'll get to a place where they're laughing and saying, God, how are you going to do it this time? This is so crazy. I'm backed into a corner. But this is so great that I'm backed into a corner. There's no way out. I'm surrounded. I can't sneak this way. I can't go this way. I can't go forward. I can't go under. I can't go over. Perfect! How are you going to do it this time, God? And we end up laughing about these ridiculous circumstances we find ourselves in, knowing God is going to find a way for us to get out of that proverbial corner. He's the God of the impossible. He's the one that turns around everything. He's the one that opens up that Red Sea. Surprise! Here's a new road. 17-lane highway all the way to the desert. But anyway, it's away from the Egyptians. He can do it. Moses, off! For 40 years, thinking he's done, my life shelved. I killed a guy and buried him in the sand, thinking I was doing God's best. I was going to take on the Egyptians one at a time until they realized how powerful my God is. So I got rid of that first one, and I don't know, there's only, you know, so many million left. And he's out in the desert, and God graciously starts the eternal flame right there in the desert. You wonder if it's still burning there. No one's noticed. Who would have ever put that out? Maybe that's a new discovery. We'll send Troy. He likes to go anywhere. But God supernaturally, but Moses had a choice. He saw that thing. He could have said, that's weird. I'm just going to keep on going. But instead, he approached. Then God says, holy ground. Okay, takes off his shoes. And he's on holy ground, and he's still making excuses. Just like us. And yet God took him up against Pharaoh, who he was afraid of, gave him probably the worst armor bearer ever, Aaron, and God still got it done. You know Aaron, the golden calf Aaron, the always got something to say but wish he didn't Aaron. And God says he can be your mouthpiece. Oh, couldn't you choose somebody a little more on target? Well, that's what you get when you don't do it yourself. I'm being facetious, but with some of that. You'll have true spiritual peace. Moses wasn't even at peace in God's presence when he was before the burning bush. But as he went through the process of making the decisions that God wanted him to make, despite all the voices against it, despite his armor bearer that was less than, he goes up and he spends time on the mountain with God and recommends it to everyone else. He went through a process of climbing the mountain literally to peace, and in the manifest presence of God was able to have such peace. Incredible, the process of peace. So don't come to peace too quickly. Let God build it within you with these decisions. I have a peace about it, so I'm going to just... Okay, have you checked out the Word of God with this decision? I have a peace about it. Have you heard from Holy Spirit on this decision? Any guidance, leading that you could share? I have a peace about it. What about godly counsel? Are you going to ask if we have any sense, any red flags, or maybe we'll just pray in this process? I didn't think of that. Then please don't say you have a peace about it. It's just that's detrimental to your process. Don't come to peace too quickly, but don't stay away from it when it comes. But it should be supernatural peace. Not just something where, well, I know it's going to be okay. I know it's going to be okay. Now I'm at peace. That's not the kind he's talking about. Everything God gives us is supernatural, beyond our natural. So peace is supernatural. I love that. Following a supernatural process for decision making will result in true spiritual peace, not pressure, joy, not worry, or a downcast countenance, guidance, not resignation to confusion, supernatural choices lined up with heaven, not natural thoughts and actions aligned with the soul, earthly wisdom, or the demonic. Confirmation, and growth and maturity. Every one of these decisions is for our growth. He has so many benefits, like I have been sharing all morning. He will give us extra stuff because we're in his process. He will help me harmonize. He'll help me, you know, learn things with my left hand when it was in rebellion. Because he just wants to bless his children with these gifts. Since we're on target, we might as well have a whole bunch of them. That's why Paul was just filled with all kinds of giftings. So if you are of that persuasion, well, every person has a gift and they just act in that gift. Nah, he's too generous for that. He's too generous for that. You have a unique mix of gifts. No limits. A unique mixing of gifts that's unique to you because you're an individual and God gives you that unique mix. And you might not even be able to identify them all because they're still developing. You know those classes? Let's identify our gifts. Let's have a class. Worst idea ever. Worst idea. I mean, you know, it's not the worst idea ever. I mean, you do get to see a little bit of your tendencies. But when they say, that's your gift, I've been in classes like that, and they said, that's your gift. And it was almost like they put a box around me. Okay, that's it. We're going to rely on you for teaching. You know, and this person, we're going to rely on you for evangelism. We're going to rely on you for hospitality. And then these people get blocked into these, channels. I'm hospitality. I will share about Jesus in my hospitality as I give out carrots and celery and coffee. Lots of coffee. You are a unique mix of gifts. He is unique for you. You are unique for him. You definitely are. You're very unique. I testify. And I am too. We are so unusually made by God to be unlimited in what he can do through us. People are often surprised. Gosh, I thought I was just gifted in this way. And he came out in this way. Yeah, welcome to the supernatural. Where he's not going to limit you to labels. Okay? Don't ever just say, well, I'm a teacher and an intercessor. Okay, those are my gifts. Don't ever say that. They might be right now, but they're going to be expanded. You're going to be expanded, and you could find yourself evangelizing the country of Cote d'Ivoire in French, and you didn't even know it. Why not? He has no limits. Let's not put any on him or on us as he works through us. Other keys, already mentioned this one, saying, I have prayed about it without hearing back from the Lord, or I have a peace about it, which could be a soul peace, where your emotions, mind, and will, they're satisfied. This is about as far as I can go. If that's what you're saying about a decision, it's not Christ honoring in the process for making wise decisions. Now, if you really do have come to a place of peace, you won't say, I have a peace about it. You'll say, God has taken me through a process, and I'm at such peace, I'm laughing about what's going to happen with this decision because it seems impossible. How could this ever work out? How could this ever be what God would do in this situation and so on, and yet he plans to do that. So I'm just laughing about it. And it could be small or it could be big. It's like going into your school and saying, hey, I'd like to take Friday off. And from now on, I like Fridays to be dressed down Fridays. But for now, I just want to take Friday off. And it's the school depending on you to be a teacher that day. I've had that experience, and they basically shipped me out the door with joy when they had told someone else they couldn't go to a conference that seemed like it had a lot more to do with what was going on at school. A volleyball training. No, you can't go. Me, spiritual conference. You can go. Yeah, I've talked to the superintendent. The superintendent and I we're on the same page about this. And yes, you need to go. I think that would be good for your classroom. Fifth graders? Great. Anything to help the fifth graders. The world is passing away and also its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. The last part's the part I like. The one who does the will of God lives forever. It is possible to do the will of God, to actually get to your destiny, fulfill your call, cross that finish line like with a blaze, like flash, break that tape, okay, then be ready for heaven. And we are not seeing that as much as we'd like to see that. So why not start with all of us? to break the tape strong at the end of our race, to fulfill our call, to reach our destiny and know it, not be at that 2 feet from that tape at the end of our life and say, oh man, I've got so many regrets. But before that time, we let him redeem the time that we wasted. We let him redeem the money that we've wasted. We let him redeem all the decisions that we screwed up. We just say, you're a redeemer, redeem it all. And we get to the near that tape and we're like, I can't wait to break that tape and go into heaven. Instead of this other approach. That's what I want to see for each one of you. And I want to see you go farther than we've ever gone. Or we're failures. I said, I want to see you go farther than what Pastor Mary Pat or myself have ever gone. Or we will be failures in one sense. Now, we'll still have a heart for the Lord and he's still going to get rewards and all that. But we want you to be the ones going higher and greater and farther. More nations, more neighborhoods, more people change, more healings, more deliverances, more salvations, more babies. Thank you, Christy. Woo! A girl! Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do, God should be involved in it. When I'm allowed to have an ice cream cone at home, I praise God. She offered me ice cream the other day and I turned it down. I thought, oh, what's wrong with me? Jesus. So I think I've made the point, this doesn't have to be static. This doesn't have to be on the page and not in our lives. That this is important. And we didn't even go over the scriptures. They're there for you. You need to study and to show yourself approved. You need to study the scriptures to be convinced that I'm not just giving you some kind of malarkey. Be Bereans, like we said last week. Study it out. Check it out. And if you have something in here to add, add it so I can write the book. Please. So, does this work? Of course it does. This building and this land, in 2012, we had been renting, leasing, renting. You know, we used the building to such a great degree that the brethren who owned this building, they didn't know what to do. Let us rent it or do a lease or, okay, you can just rent it. You're using the building like we want. You're going to the nations. That's on our hearts too. And we would meet with them and they'd say, so I think we're thinking about selling a building. Okay, so be thinking about that. Okay, well, you're going to sell it? We're not sure. Okay, so they sold the parsonage over here across from Jackson Middle School. We said, they sold the parsonage. I bet they're going to sell this building. So we start praying, asking God, how are you going to bring in money for 5 acres in Jackson, one of the tallest hills in Jackson? 5 acres in Jackson. How are you going to bring in the money for that? We're a small group. But we were praying into it. We'd seen God do a number of things with mission trips to get us overseas and all of that in several a year. And we're like, wow, okay. Well, if it comes to that, he's going to do it. So then they come to us. We're going to sell the building. Okay. We'll start raising funds. Okay, sure. Raise some funds. No big rush. And then as years went by, we raised some funds. And, you know, they were like, so you want to take out a loan? We said, well, our leadership isn't really for taking out a loan for this building. Okay, well, we can, you know, we can let it go a while and see what happens. So a little bit more money came in. And I might, with passage of time, have the exact figures incorrect. But I thought we had about 60%. but we're still a ways from purchasing this land, whatever the price. So it, first, before I say that, when they decided to sell the building, they gave us a price, and it was before 2008. So they gave us a price on this 5 acres, and we were like, woo, okay, God, you would really have to put it into high gear to bring that in. And so then the downturn in 2008 happened, and they came back and they said, well, that's a ridiculous amount. You know, now, under these circumstances with the economy. So they chopped it by two-thirds. Not a third. They chopped it by two-thirds. I was like, well, now, we're getting into our kind of ballpark here, you know, thinking naturally. But, you know, I was ready for the big amount, just not as ready as I was for two-thirds less. So I'm, you know, putting my little mustard seed of faith out there and so on. We raised about 60% of that amount, but we still had a ways to go in 2012 in the spring. And God came to me. Now, this is the part where I'm talking about. If you're trying to go God's way, make God's, you know, be on God's page, on Holy Spirit page, he comes to you also. It's not all about you going to him. He comes to you. He's your father. He comes to you with really amazing things. So he came to me with a really amazing thing, all right. He says, they're going to be coming to you with a deadline. And when they come to you with a deadline, you are to speak for me and say, I love deadlines. You're speaking for God. I love deadlines. That's what God is saying. And so whatever the deadline is, he will meet it. And I'm like, that's 40%. We've taken all these years to get 60%. What if they say it's in 2 months? We've got 2 mission trips. We've got a lot going on. You know, we'll have to pay for. That's all he pretty much said at that point. So sure enough, I get a phone call from the committee that was in charge of this building, and they said, we need to have a meeting. And the Lord says, this is the one. This is the meeting. Okay. Wow. All right. So we come to the meeting, and they said, you know, we've been thinking about things, and it's been quite a long time here, so we're going to have to set a deadline. And I thought, this is my time to speak. This ridiculous statement that I'm shaking inside. How is it going to come out of my mouth if my mouth starts shaking too? So I say, as if I'm a prophet, an apostle from the Bible, God loves deadlines. I kind of think of it now as if I had a little accent behind it. God loves deadlines, and he will meet it. It didn't happen that way, but I just like to think of it that way. Because I felt foolish, but I also felt empowered because I told these guys, you know, the leaders, and told Mary Pench, and they said, oh, yeah, you go for it. Go, yeah, you go for it. You go for it. Sure, we're behind you. We're behind you. I noticed that only Pastor Mary Pat showed up for that meeting. But anyway, so I said it. God loves deadlines, and he will meet whatever deadline it is. And they looked at me like, you have never talked like this ever about this process. It's always been, could you give us a little more time? Just a little more time. Let's see what God does. No, we're not going to take out a loan, but how about a little bit more time? And now that there's a deadline, you start speaking like a prophet out of the Old Testament. So they were like, okay, well, we're thinking the end of August. Now, this is June by now. We have 2 mission trips between June and August. And the Lord, I think it was after the meeting, the Lord said, oh, and by the way, start remodeling the building before the deadline. Before the money comes in, start remodeling the building. And of course, that's a no-no, because if the money doesn't come in, then you're giving them a building because they're going to sell it to somebody else. You're giving them a building that's remodeled, and they didn't have to pay a dime for it. They had let us do a number of things in here. You know, at that point, they trusted us with whatever we wanted to do to the building to enhance it. So he said, remodel it too. Okay, so we started a remodeling project and a fundraising project. I mean, we just told people about it, a couple letters or something. It wasn't like I was calling up everybody that we knew here and abroad. Hey. And he brings in the money 2 weeks early. And we go on the mission trips. And we pay for the mission trips. And we had the money 2 weeks early. And we were in the midst of remodeling. So I called them up. And I say, we have the money. And they say, oh, yeah. Yeah, I know you have some of the money, but you know, you got to have the rest. No, we have the money. You have the money? We're not ready. What? We're not ready to close this. We don't have the paperwork ready. Oh, let me get this straight. You gave us a deadline, but you didn't think we could meet that deadline. That makes it even better. It's used to be we were appealing to you. Now you're appealing to us. Give us some time. We're not ready. We don't have the paperwork ready. It wasn't until, I think, November that we finally signed, or maybe it was end of October. But it was around the time of Relentless Pursuit, because we used to have it at the end of October. And we even had a little bit of a deal with the baptismal that caused our remodeling to go into a whole different mode when it came, the water came on a, trying out the baptismal to possibly use it, the water came through one of the ceilings down here. That was kind of fun as well, but God took care of that. So all that to say this, you can be shaken like Gideon behind the wine press and not know what to do, what to say, and sometimes he just gives you a gift of what to say, but will you say it? And after I said it and all that stuff happened, I'm like, give me something else to tell somebody. Because that worked. That was incredible. And I felt like the most blessed person, that because I have set my sights on the goal line, wanting to go through that goal line without failing God, and Pastor Mary Pat has done the same, and our leaders have done the same, that he just comes along with these amazing gifts to us. So it's not all about you asking God. He's going to show up in a burning bush, and he's going to shed some light on some things, and he's going to show you whether you're on target or not, not just you determining it through these things that I've described. He loves to show up and cheer us on. He loves to show up and give us just exactly what should come out of our mouth. Some of you have had experience in medical situations where God has given you wisdom greater than the doctors in front of you. And you've had to tell them, I'm not sure this is the best. And you don't know jack about the condition that's being talked about. But you know God. You know his voice. And you're in the process of determining his page, and you're on it. And when you speak from that page, wow, mountains move. Some of you have had financial situations where you needed a job and you didn't know which job to. Here's some possibilities. Which one is it, God? And he shows you which one it is. He leads you through it, and you look back and you go, how did that happen? Exactly how did that go down? I can't even describe it, how I knew this was the proper thing to do. Some of you moved from other places. I've moved from Michigan to Ohio. Now think of that. By the voice of God. I didn't think it was possible. Upgrade. Well, it definitely is with the football teams lately. Anyway, and some of you have moved from other places. And you think, come to Frontline? I mean, why can't I just stay where I'm at? Why can't I just... But there's this movement within you. And as you describe it to some people, they go, what? What are you doing? It sounds like some screwball idea to me. And then you talk to other people. I think it's God. And he leads you, guides you through that. Some of you, you know, have listened to all kinds of voices in your life and they weren't the right ones. The world, the flesh, the devil. Those were your voices. And mainly your own voice. And it just sounded like inside that cave. Wow, bounces off. It sounds good. Bounced off the... Oh, sounds good. But then Jesus brought you to the edge of the cave and brought you out into the light. And suddenly all your decisions seemed like they needed review. All your decisions. And you just bow before him in the light. And you say, oh... You're the shepherd. I'm your lamb. I'm treasured by you. You want me to get to living water and good pasture. You want me to go right past that confusing grass, that tall grass that I could get lost in, and there could be a wolf in there. And you don't want me to go over the edge of the cliff because I wandered away and wasn't paying attention and over the cliff. You don't want that. And so, because I'm related to you, and because you care so much for me, I end up on your shoulders. I can't go wrong. I can't go wrong. And I will be blessed and favored and persecuted, lied about, slammed, all those things. And I'll be able to make it through all those things because it's about you, Jesus. It's not about me. It's not my reputation. It's not, you know, something about me, it's about you. I'm going to press through any of those things. And that's going to be your experience. As we pray for you, as we want the best for you, that will be your experience if you step in closer to Jesus, closer to his heart, keep letting him change you, repenting, asking for forgiveness of others, forgiving others, not entering into offense, entering into offense that leads to bitterness, and then you're mad at people and you don't even know it. You're upset with relatives or friends or anybody, and they don't even know it. You've got this private war going on against them, and they don't even know it. It's just so cool to call this supernatural decision-making. It wasn't just a... click and title, you know? It actually is supernatural, above our natural ability to get us where God wants us. I want that for every one of you. Let me pray over you. Father, we just thank you, God, for every person here. Jesus, the more you lead me supernaturally, the more you lead Pastor Mary Pat supernaturally, the more we want it to happen. Thank you for forgiving mistakes. Thank you for forgiving any misnavigation in our lives, God. But you are so gracious. You get us back in the chute quickly. And God, I want that for every person here. I want them to be on your narrow way, perfectly, accurately. And God, that they would talk to you about it when they've taken a step off the path. And they would say, Jesus, forgive me. That was foolish. Thank you for still receiving me and loving me and speaking to me and leading me and giving me dreams, pictures, visions. God, it's increasing from you in these last days. You say it will, and it is. But it's only received by those that have a heart for you, Jesus. Have a heart for following you, Jesus, closely. And not doing the fake out, the hypocrite deal. not doing the two-faced, but doing the authentic. We want to be authentic followers of yours. We want to be true followers of yours. Jesus, we need your power to do that, and you give it liberally. And you want us to be right in the center of your will and know it and rejoice in it and have such joy it will carry us in strength even more than our physical strength. Joy will carry us in strength. Father God, I believe those here that are in the center of your will receive supernatural strength like Samson. They will receive courage like Esther. They will receive dreams and visions like Daniel. They will receive reconciling with their family like Joseph. I believe those lined up with your heart and with your kingdom, God, they will receive healing, even resurrection healing, like the little girl on the bed. Didn't even know what was going on. Had already passed into death. But Jesus said, you're only sleeping. In the supernatural kingdom, you're only ever just sleeping. It's not the tragedy. It's not the horrible ending. It's only the beginning. But I want you to live this out and give glory to God by this particular miracle. So rise up, little girl, and come back to life. Father, you will do that with each one of us. Rise up, little boy. Rise up, little girl. Come back to life. Have my supernatural life active within you. Jesus, activate all your 700 names and titles for these precious ones. It is my joy to be here with them today. It is my joy to be in your presence today. Jesus. Jesus, we're your children, but we're not childish. We're learning. We're your disciples if we choose the narrow road. God, thank you for blessing us with the ability to make decisions beyond just our mind, will, and emotions. We need our spirit to rise up and intertwine with your spirit, and then it becomes empowered, and it can overrule some of the foolishness of the thoughts that we have on our own, some of the leaning towards the flesh and the world that we have built in. But God, you can overcome it and make us new men and women in you so that we change the world. We change our families. We change our coworkers as you work through us. There'll be a change wherever we go. People will start saying, they, that person, or they have been with Jesus. They'll recognize it. They'll see it in our eyes. They'll see it in our countenance. They'll see it in the joy that we carry. They'll see it in the peace that we carry. Ask and receive that your joy may be full. He doesn't want half joy. He doesn't want a smidgen of joy. He wants full joy. Fully immersed in him and fully making decisions that line up with his kingdom. God, I impart that to each of those willing in this assembly today. All it takes is a group of people willing to do your will. And relationally, to be under your authority. And you can have us transform territories unlimited. Because the enemy needs to bow to the unity that you bring to the body of Christ. The enemy needs to bow to your empowering of believers. And he did back when they started the church. When they started spreading the gospel, idols were knocked down. so many different types. Physical ones, mental ones, spiritual ones were knocked down. And so now it's our turn to do some havoc to the kingdom of Satan by knocking down the idols. And we do it together. And we have done it together. And Father, we thank you, Jesus, that you're all over that with your presence, with your power. We give you praise. We give you honor. We humble ourselves before you. Let us not think that we are anything without Jesus. Without you, Jesus. I can do nothing without Jesus. That's a true statement. But with Jesus, Lord, it's unlimited what we can accomplish for your kingdom. Together. Together. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen. Well, we have a few things jumping this week. Please come and be involved in some of those. We, Tuesday night, we have the prayer gatherings coming in just before Relentless Pursuit. So we can let them know what's happening for Relentless Pursuit. So we'll again be in that room in a big circle, and people from different fellowships will be coming here to pray on Tuesday night. So our first hour will be prayer with the prayer gathering people that come in and ourselves. So please come early so you can greet those people coming through the door. We've encouraged people to do that, and you've been gracious to even jump your schedule a little bit and come 5 or 10 minutes early so we can greet the ones coming in for the prayer gathering. They have let me know what they think about all of you. They're very encouraged when they come here. Some say, I like going to your church. I like going to your church. And it's not me. It's you guys when you invite them into the circle and welcome them and so on. And so we'll have that circle, prayer gathering circle. Please come 5-10 minutes early to, I said that 3 times, didn't I, to invite people. So then the last hour, I'm not sure. I don't think we have any speakers in town yet, so we'll probably have worship for that last hour.
Thank you for listening. If you need any additional information about Frontline Ministries International or Frontline Worship Center, you can visit us on the web at www.frontline-ministries.org or email us at info@frontline-ministries.org. Or you can contact us by phone at area code 330-837-8399.